Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The time travel novel Time Messenger by F.J. Falone inadvertently sends the travelers back 65 million years. And they meet an ancient civilization of evolved dinosaurs and save them by warning the early inhabitants of Earth of the approaching six-mile-wide asteroid that wipes out nearly all life on Earth. And in return, the Tarsi, the ancient inhabitants, watch over human development and protect them from an aggressive race that wants the seemingly uninhabited Earth. Jay earned an electrical engineering degree from the University of Lowell, Massachusetts, now UMass Lowell. He was inspired by early science fiction, mostly by 1953 War of the Worlds, Day the Earth Stood Still, First Men in the Moon, Lost in Space, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, $6 Million Man, all those were classics, and more. Reviews call Time Messenger entertaining, intellectual, stimulating, fast-paced fun, a great read. And author F.J. Falone joins us on This Week in America. Hi, Jay, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I love what you've done here. This is such a great world that you've created, and rave reviews for the book Time Messenger by F.J. Falone, F-A-L-O-N-E. Book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. We'll give you that information throughout the interview. And of course, you can link on directly to Jay's book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned the stimulation early on with these great science fiction shows. We probably grew up about the same time. Talk about that. What inspired you to actually write, especially a Time Messenger?
I guess I was kind of born a nerd and started loving science fiction when I was a little kid. You know, my parents kind of leaned into that for me. They got me Robot Commando. That was like a really cool robot in the early 60s.
Oh, yes.
And like you said, all the movies I used to watch, I always wanted to watch science fiction, nothing else. It drove my parents crazy, and everyone who, you know, we had like one TV everybody was fighting for. But I got them in there, and I guess probably War of the Worlds is the thing that really inspired me. Came out in 53, and I was only a few years old when I started watching it. So, and Day the Earth Stood Still, the original one. Of course, I'm very old. So basically just the environment of the 60s, and everybody was a scientist in their garage. And I caught the fever. So this is where I am.
And turned it into this book, Time Messenger by F.J. Falone. This book is really an excellent read. It's not violent, so you've got a lot of young people that are reading it, maybe like you, that are really enhanced, encouraged by what they read, excited about science fiction, may follow in your steps as well. The book is doing so well, Time Messenger by F.J. Falone. Talk about the idea for the book. How did this idea, you've got all these ideas from all these great classic TV shows and movies. Where did the idea for Time Messenger come from?
Well, actually, it was going to be two books. One was about meeting an ancient civilization, and another book that they invented time travel. And it just one day just kind of clicked, you know, put them together. It could be a pretty interesting story. So basically, just things, you know, it took years and years to put it together in my head. And basically, that's how it came to be. It was going to be two books, and now it's one.
When you came up with this idea, was this one, are you one of those that worked from a strict outline? You had all this laid out before you started writing, or did this sort of evolve as you were telling the story?
Kind of evolved as I was telling the story.
Yes.
Just, I didn't have any format. I just kind of sat down one day and, you know, the real estate, I do real estate also, and the market was slow. So I figured I'd just start putting my notes down, and it just kept going until it became a book.
Well, so, and the book Time Messenger is doing well. You'll find it wherever books are sold. We've got the Amazon link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, F.J. Falone, F-A-L-O-N-E. Again, the link on our website. Talk about the major players. Everybody really likes the players that you bring out in Time Messenger. Who are the main ones?
Well, Dominic Costa, he's an astrophysicist, graduated not that long ago. And Maria DeLucci, she's like the genius of the crowd. She's They both went to MIT, both have PhDs in their respective interests. Oh, Dominic Costa is also a paleontologist, which came in handy, believe it or not. And we've got Colonel Jenks, who is the pilot, Mark Stanton, who's an electrical engineer from Stanton. There's a really a good twist in the book, which I can't really give away because it kind of takes away from it. But I'll give you well, Colonel Jenks goes back and he gets injured, and they give him this serum that to help the tarsi, but that wasn't based on his physiology. And he ended up getting himself cured almost instantly and ended up nearly immortal, as you'll find it towards the close of the book, how that turned out. And he meets Professor Einstein, and then they start working on, guess what, the time machine. So Mr. Ross, he's the financier. He's the one that, you know, he's probably in his 80s and 90s, so they think, and there's a twist on that one, too. So he's the one that financed the construction of the time machine and helped everything go forward to get a larger one built in the shadows that no one knows about. So those are the major players.
There are a lot of twists and turns, as you alluded to. You couldn't say too much because that would spoil it for the people who have yet to read it. And at the end of each chapter, you end with a cliffhanger. This is a book that it's going to be difficult to sit down, read a couple chapters, put it away until tomorrow. You're going to want to go to the next chapter to see what happens. The book is Time Messenger by F.J. Falone, our guest on the program. Let's talk about this whole concept of the time machine. What was the purpose? What was the goal of the time machine?
Well, originally the goal was they were going to send back a probe, and they had to make this probe very rugged so they could send it back 65 million years and record the asteroid strike that created the Chicxulub crater in, you know, southern Mexico. So the whole purpose, so they thought, was to create this thing that they could send back and witness a historical event. And as they ended up, they found out that they were in the background. No one knew what was going on. The government was creating a craft that they could send back and meet with this ancient civilization that they had already known about that no one else really knew about. So the driving force behind this was to get some video of the meteor, 6 mile wide meteor that crashed, and collect data and send it back. Just have the last 65 million years in orbit. But as it turned out, that didn't work out that way.
Well, yes, and you'll have to read the book to find out what happened. Time Messenger by F.J. Falone, our guest on the program. Using a time machine can be tricky. Sometimes we read a book or we even see a movie where they've got a time machine and we get lost in what's going on. And sometimes it's like, wait a minute, I don't know what's happening here. You're very clear in explaining that. It's a joy to go back in your time machine because you've done an excellent job of laying out exactly what's happening and we can fully understand what's happening. You mentioned 65 million years ago inhabitants. Who are the inhabitants 65 million years ago of Earth?
Well, they were a race of evolved dinosaurs. They called themselves the Tarsi. And some of the higher-ups knew that these folks were going to come back and guide them. They actually gave them the warning of the 6 mile-wide asteroid approaching Earth so far away they hadn't detected it. And they didn't have anything powerful enough to send it off course or destroy it. So they decided to leave Earth. And the way they did that was Earth had two moons back then, a smaller one and a larger one. And what they did was cannibalize the material from the smaller moon to create basically an ark. And they were going to load all their flora and fauna from the entire Earth and then find a new home and recreate their planet, basically. So they were very dinosaur looking, like very sharp teeth,
yes.
But they had evolved into omnivores, and that's about it, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting how that develops and taking us back 65 million years in the time machine. What happens when they end up 65 million years in the past? Talk about what happens and how you develop that.
Well, they ended up 65 million years in the past because, of course, they were planning on sending back this probe. But one day when they got everything working, they ended up being ushered to this location, and it ends up being Area 51, where they constructed this enormous time machine replica. But they needed the control system that Mark Stanton had developed, which is as soon as they as soon as he had got that working, they showed up at the lab the next day. They were loaded into a convoy of SUVs and taken to Logan Airport, where they went out to Area 51. And once at Area 51, they opened up this huge time machine, and there was a spacecraft in there, which they didn't expect to see. And Colonel Jinks, who was a pilot, he was going to pilot the craft, and Dominic and Maria go back in time with them. They didn't know they were going back in time until somehow the new control system overloaded, and I will tell you how it overloaded, but it overloaded and sparked I guess a controlled almost explosion.
Oh, yes.
And when they woke
yes.
up, they were 65 million years in the past, which they didn't believe they were that was going to happen. So anywhere from there you'd like me to go?
What? No, what a great story. That I'll stop you before you maybe say something. Let's get people interested, and they can enjoy it as they read the book for the first time. The book is Time Messenger by F.J. Falone, F-A-L-O-N-E, if you're Googling. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I love the way you present the Tarsi. How did they save themselves from destruction?
Well, they created the Ark from that second moon. They made an enormous Ark. They harvested all the helium-3 from the moon and the second moon, which they called Round Sub 2, to power their flight. And helium-3 is a great refrigerant used for refrigeration. So they took their entire population, almost the whole thing, and put them in stasis. And then off they went to reach a new location. So Tarsi popsicles.
Well, yes, the team does something interesting while stranded. Talk about that. These are genius people. Talk about what they did while stranded.
Well, while they were stranded there, they didn't want to be bored and just be they didn't want to take from them entirely. So Mark and Maria ended up working on the construction of the Ark, and Colonel Jinks worked as a pilot and ferrying people back and forth and materials. So they worked the whole time they were there.
It's a story that Jay brings to life so well in Time Messenger. The book is available wherever books are sold. Link on our website for his Amazon page. Can you say how it ends? I don't want to go too far in the conversation here. We've taken it right up to the precipice. We need to get people to enjoy the end of the book. Can you say how it all ends, or just read the book and find out?
Well,
enjoy it for yourself.
Well, a little bit of both, because it all ends with everybody safe and happy, and the Tarsi are still watching over us, even now. And this is a trilogy, so this is only the first book. The second is I'm done with it, and the third I'm about halfway through with. So it's going to be a continuing story, so you don't want to give away too much.
No, and I was going to ask that because I'm reading reviews, and people are like, excuse me, I like the events, I like the relationships, the characters, they love the Tarsi civilization. Will there be more? And you just answered that. It's a trilogy, so you have two more that you're working on. Number two is done. When will that be available in publication, do you think?
Well, I'll probably wait about 6 months or so to see how we do with this, and then release it. It's all done, basically ready to go to my publisher. So, and the third one, obviously, I'm half through with that one. So as soon as I release the second one, I'll finish up the third one.
When you sat down to write Time Messenger, you mentioned at first maybe this was going to be two stories. You ended up telling it in one. Did you have any idea this would be a continuing saga, which is developed now into a trilogy? Was that in the back of your mind as you were writing Time Messenger?
As I was writing it, it came to light that it would probably work as one story a lot better. It would make one really interesting story, or maybe two okay stories. So
I alluded to before that you end each chapter and you've got us wanting more. Talk about being a writer and being able to do that. How did that work for you? Because you've got us to the end of the chapter. Sometimes we take a deep breath at the end of the chapter and think, okay, we can go to bed now. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. That chapter's over. You have us wanting to go to the next chapter. Talk about the talent that you have in keeping our interest throughout the entire book.
Well, I don't know if I have that much talent other than it just kind of flowed that way. But I, back when I was really young, I used to watch the chapter plays a little bit, you know, Buck Rogers. And,
yes.
And they always left you hanging, but they never gave you what you really wanted. When you went back to the next episode, they changed it. So. But anyway, that's what I wanted. I tried to leave it on an end where you didn't want to stop. You wanted to go to the next chapter and keep it going. So I've got a lot of comments about that. I didn't really realize I was doing it at the time, but.
Well, it's
that's
a talent, and keep doing it because people do like that. You do see that in the reviews, and you start quickly out of the gate. Sometimes it takes 3-4 chapters before we figure out what's going on with the story. We know right away what's going on as you read Time Messenger. What age group is this designed for? And maybe it's for everybody because that seems to be who's enjoying it.
Yeah, it seems like, I kind of wrote it more for like the middle school age type.
Yes.
At first, and then I realized a lot of really good shows aren't even categorized. They write them how they write them, and I wanted to try to find a way to appeal to all the age groups. You know, I didn't need any swearing or violence or anything unhealthy in the books. I wanted to be kind of draw you in, like the mathematical equations I put in there to the best of my ability. They're right, so. If kids ever want to check on them, maybe they could do that in school. You know, if they get excited about it, maybe they'll talk a little bit about, you know, Einstein's theory and the relativistic effects of speed. And hopefully they'll get interested in it like I did and become a nerd and develop real time travel.
Well, I mentioned it's been called intellectual stimulating. It really is, isn't it? And it's entertaining on top of that. It gets you thinking. Some are saying, boy, I can really see something like this actually happening in real life. So you have the readers thinking, which I'm sure was a goal of what you were doing. Entertain them and get them thinking at the same time.
That was exactly it. Yes, I wanted something good that kids could watch, learn from, and be entertained by.
You mentioned growing up and watching all of these television programs, and that was sort of the motivation. Did you read much as a kid? Did you read a lot of sci-fi books?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay.
Nerd with a capital N, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. And some people have said, and it's interesting because trying to get young people to read, they probably will if there's something they're interested in. This is science fiction. This is something that really would be excellent to get them hooked on reading as you were reading science fiction as a young person in school. Time Messenger by F.J. Falone, F-A-L-O-N-E. What's it like having this book published out there now? I mean, you've thought about this for years. The motivation was a few years ago when you were growing up. What's it like to pick up a copy of Time Messenger and see your cover, see your name on the cover? Just like a dream come true for you?
Yeah, it's kind of surreal. I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it. But I don't like being popular or being the center of attention, but this... there's no avoiding it, I guess, right?
Well, yes, and it's your work, and you should be, and you are quite proud of it. I see I can hear the passion in your voice as you're talking about what went into to Time Messenger. How long did it take you from the concept to finishing the book? What was that process like for you? And part of that, I'm sure, was going back and reworking and editing and fine-tuning it as you went through this. How long a process was this in writing Time Messenger?
In writing time, probably around a year, plus or minus. I used to get my best inspirations. I used to jog quite a bit. And when I was out running, my mind was clear, and I'd come up with these ideas and come home and write them down right away. And but basically, I would say around a year or so once I got the idea to start putting it down in print. So.
And some of these ideas, I would think, once you get them, you need to sort of see them through, some of the scientific stuff that you have in there. How difficult was it to shut it off? Like, okay, I can't be thinking about everybody in the story now. It's time that I turn off my mind and go to bed. Was that a problem sometimes to stop thinking about the storyline?
All the time.
Yes.
All the time. Yeah, as soon as I get an idea, I got to write it down or, you know, it might get lost somewhere else. So, yeah, basically constant. I still think about things I wish I had done differently, but too late now.
Well, yeah, but you've got the other books coming in. I would think it'd be difficult. Yeah, You're out doing something and suddenly Dominic comes to mind and you're thinking, okay, I could do this with him. I think it'd be difficult because you've created this world that that you've created. So here you are and you control these people, and I would think it would be on your mind. When you finish this trilogy, what are you thinking about doing after that?
More books.
What kind?
I've got a few ideas ready.
Oh, okay. Science fiction as well?
Yes, yeah.
What do you watch now or read? Is there any science fiction that matches the joy that you had with War of the Worlds, Day of the Earth Stood Still? Is there anything now that's even comparable to what you read and watched growing up?
Not really. What I'm kind of addicted to at the moment is audiobooks. I mean, if you go on YouTube, there's all kind of great science fiction stories there. And I at least a couple a day I listen to.
That makes it so nice doing that now. And that's interesting. Are you thinking about maybe an audiobook of Time Messenger? And are you thinking about maybe presenting this as a possible TV series or a video of some kind?
Well, I've interviewed with a couple of movie studios. Yeah, I guess the answer is yes. I would like to do that because I'm getting tired of selling real estate. But unfortunately, I can make a lot more money selling real estate than being an engineer, which is kind of sad. So,
well, it is. It says something about where we are. But fortunately, there was unfortunately, depending on how you look at, a lull at one point that got you to sit down and finally develop the story that you've been thinking about for years. When you sat down to write this, how difficult was it to get started? Or is this something that, okay, I've got 30 years that I've been working on this in my mind. I just need to sit down and let it flow.
That's about it. I sat down, I started writing, and out it came. So it wasn't really difficult at all other than finding the time. But at the time, the real estate market had crashed, so I had more time on my hands than work to do. So there it started.
Well, each chapter ends in a cliffhanger, which is always good for a reader that, you know, okay, this is, buckle the seatbelt. You're getting ready for a ride here. This is going to be an enjoyable and thrilling ride. It's nonviolent. It will get you to think. It's a really entertaining book. And the good news, it's a good, entertaining book, and there will be at least two more in the trilogy. The book is Time Messenger by F.J. Falone. That's F-A-L-O-N-E if you're Googling. Book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I'd like to thank King Pages Press. That's Jay's marketing consultant for arranging our conversation today. Jay, it's been a pleasure. It sounds like maybe 6 months or so we can do this again and talk a little bit about the sequel to Time Messenger. A pleasure having him on the program. Congratulations on the success of this. Wonderful job with the first book. Looking forward to the other two in the trilogy. Thank you for being with us on the program.
It was my honor, and thank you for having me.
Jay, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Look forward to doing it again. Again, our guest is F.J. Falone, F-A-L-O-N-E. The book is Time Messenger. You'll find it wherever books are sold. An Amazon link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.